Very, very warm welcome to our carol service at Penrith Methodist Church. I hope you like that little video as an opener, because it reminds us that Advent is nearly done. We have our four candles of the weeks of Advent lit, and the time is fast approaching when we are ready to receive Emmanuel, God with us. I hope you enjoy this evening. I hope we've got quite a bit of variety in the programme that we have for you, so there will be something, I hope, for all tastes. We're not expecting any fire drills, obviously, or anything like that, so if there is a fire alarm, then it is a real fire, and the stewards will direct you as to what to do. Please join us afterwards for refreshments. We have tea and coffee, and I believe mince pies, which will be miles better than the rich tea biscuits that we normally have, so do join us for that afterwards. That will be great. Let's begin, shall we, by singing a great, 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 all the words for all the carols that we'll be singing will be on here, and we start with a great carol of praise. Hark, the herald angels sing. It's great to sing our praise, isn't it? And now we're going to speak it, so I'm going to pray, so let's pray. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Wonderful God, it is so good to come to this place, this night, to celebrate the arrival of you into our world. We praise you and thank you that you came as that baby to Bethlehem. And we praise you because, oh God, you still come. And we believe that you're here with us in this place tonight. So we welcome you here among us, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And tonight we celebrate your coming. You came to show us God. You came to be present for your creation. You came to unite us to God. You came in frailty, but in your frailty we find strength. You came as a helpless baby, but in your helplessness we can know hope. You came to a dark world, but in the darkness we see your light. You came in obscurity, but in your obscurity we find our belonging, our identity. You would be despised and ignored and rejected. And yet, here in you, we discover what love looks like, and we see what God looks like. And so we welcome your arrival, Jesus. And we thank you that you really are good news of great joy for all people. And as the shepherds found you on that first Christmas night, may we find you here among us and in us, we pray. May the light of your life shine on us and in us, and around us. Amen. We're very fortunate at Penrith Methodist Church that we have a choral group, and the choral group often help us by adding to our worship, and they're going to do two numbers for us this evening, and they're going to do the first of those now. Thank you, Heather. Thank you so much. Well, we are doubly blessed, or you're doubly blessed this evening, for not only do we have a fine organist in Gareth at the back, but we also have a brass ensemble, which have been put together at no thought of expense, just for you this evening, for your entertainment. And I hope you're in good voice and your lungs are feeling good, because the next carol we're going to sing is a response to the angel's invitation to come and worship Christ the newborn King. Angels from the realms of glory. So let's stand as we're able and sing. We're going to hear part of that amazing Christmas story now. Karin is going to come and read to us from Luke's Gospel.
Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home, he travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who is now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger.
Several weeks ago, one of our members here at PMC, Pat Emerson, came up to me and she said, "Tim, would you mind if me and a few of my friends did something at the Christmas service?" I said, "No, of course not. That would be amazing." So Pat and her friends are now going to do that something for us.
This is a story of the Christmas guest as retold by Helen Steiner Rice in poetry form. Her poems are always based on scripture. As a child, this Christmas story was a firm favourite with Helen. So the story begins as we visit the old shoemaker Conrad in his shoe shop, and he's busily preparing for a very special Christmas day. When I was a child, I loved to hear this story my grandma told each year. She told it in her native tongue, and I was very, very young. But yet this story seemed to be filled with wonderment for me. For in my childish heart there grew the dream that I might see him too. For he might call on me this way, so I must watch for him each day. And that is why the Christmas guest is still the story I love best. And I retell it to you now, for I can't help but feel somehow that children everywhere should hear the story Grandma told each year. For Christmas Day is doubly blessed when Jesus is our Christmas guest. It happened one day at the year's white end. Two neighbours called on an old-time friend, and they found his shop so meagre and mean, made gay with 1,000 boughs of green. And Conrad was sitting with face ashine, when he suddenly stopped as he stitched a twine and said,
"Old friends, at dawn today, when the cock was crowing the night away, the Lord appeared in a dream to me and said,
'I am coming, your guest to be.'
So I've been busy with feet astir, strewing my shop with branches of fir. The table is spread and the kettle is shined, and over the rafters the holly is twined. And now I will wait for my Lord to appear and listen closely, so I will hear his step as he nears my humble place, and I open the door and look in his face."
So his friends went home and left Conrad alone, for this was the happiest day he had known. For long since his family had passed away, and Conrad had spent a sad Christmas day. But he knew with the Lord as his Christmas guest, this Christmas would be the dearest and best. And he listened with only joy in his heart, and with every sound he would rise with a start and look for the Lord to be standing there in answer to his earnest prayer. So he ran to the window after hearing a sound, but all that he saw on the snow-covered ground was a shabby beggar whose shoes were torn and all of his clothes were ragged and worn. So Conrad was touched and went to the door, and he said,
"Your feet must be frozen and sore, and I have some shoes in my shop for you and a coat that will keep you warmer too."
So with grateful heart the man went away, but as Conrad noticed the time of day, he wondered what made the dear Lord so late and how much longer he'd have to wait, when he heard a knock and ran to the door. But it was only a stranger once more, a bent old woman with a shawl of black, a bundle of sticks piled on her back. She asked for only a place to rest, but that was reserved for Conrad's great guest. But her voice seemed to plead,
"Don't send me away. Let me rest a while on Christmas Day."
So Conrad brewed her a steaming cup and told her to sit at the table and sup. But after she left, he was filled with dismay, for he saw that the hours were passing away and the Lord had not come as he said he would. And Conrad felt sure he had misunderstood, when out of the stillness he heard a cry.
"Please help me and tell me, where am I?"
So again he opened his friendly door and stood disappointed as twice before. It was only a child who had wandered away and was lost from her family on Christmas Day. Again, Conrad's heart was heavy and sad, but he knew he should make this little child glad, so he called her in and wiped her tears and quieted all her childish fears. Then he led her back to her home once more, but as he entered his own darkened door, he knew that the Lord was not coming today, for the hours of Christmas had passed away. So he went to his room and knelt down to pray, and he said,
"Dear Lord, why did you delay? What kept you from coming to call on me? For I wanted so much your face to see."
When soft in the silence a voice he heard,
"Lift up your head, for I kept my word. 3 times my shadow crossed your floor, 3 times I came to your lonely door. For I was the beggar with bruised cold feet, I was the woman you gave to eat, and I was the child on the homeless street."
And the scripture is from Matthew's Gospel, that whatever you do to the least of one of these my brothers, you do it to me.
Thank you, Pat, and all your friends. I didn't realise you had so many friends. That's great. You've already heard a group that we have at the church here called Kids Alive that meet during the week, and they were playing before the service started, and Kids Alive are going to come up and do something for us now.
Didn't they sing well, but they're not really that sweet. You should hear them when they chatter.
Well, of course I am the best singer out of everyone.
You might think you are, but I've got the sweetest voice of all.
Oh, I wish you'd all be quiet and listen to me, because I have the most sensible things to say.
Just wait a minute. I'm better than anyone at flying. My wings are just magnificent.
Yeah, okay, but I'm the one who sang the loudest to share the good news about the baby Jesus.
It's very important that the people hear the good news about the baby have been born and hear me singing Glory to God.
Is that why the shepherds were carrying him right? I know more, so I should tell the good news to everyone.
Yeah, but as I'm the best singer, I should have a solo part so that everyone can hear me proclaiming the good news.
I still think it would sound better if you let me take the lead, and then everyone would be amazed at my sweet singing voice.
But you're only going to share the message if you can fly really well, and that's why I come in, because my wind skills are the best.
What the angels don't realise is that Jesus is not really interested in who looks the best or who's the most talented. What counts with Jesus is what's inside. And that's why God sent Jesus to come down at Christmas time to share his love.
Amazing. Thank you. It's your turn again now, everybody. We're going to join in another great carol, "While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night." The final verse says, "All glory be to God on high, and to the Lord be peace. Goodwill henceforth from heaven to earth begin and never cease." So please stand again as you're able as we sing "While Shepherds Watched." I'm not entirely sure who I'm introducing you to next. I thought it was going to be Chris and Simon Rudkin, but when I spoke to them earlier on, they said actually there are two different people coming in. So I will hand over to whoever it is now. Isabel is going to come and read to us now some more of the Christmas story from Matthew's Gospel.
Reading from Matthew 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, Where is the Messiah supposed to be born? "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
Thank you, Isabel. We're going to hear again now from the choral group. They're going to give us the second of their numbers, so thank you. Okay, it's your turn again now. We're going to sing my favourite carol. We're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. And while we do that, One of the things we do here at Penrith Methodist Church is that we select four different charities each year that we collect money for in our offerings that go to over the Christmas period. And this year we are collecting for Carlisle Refuge, for Action for Children, for BEEP, and for the Fund for Human Needs. So while we sing this carol, we will take up an offering, and if you'd like to put something into that, then that's where that money will go. So can I invite you to stand again as you're able as we sing together, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Kath Davison is going to come and lead us in some prayers now.
When the world was dark and all was quiet, you came. You crept in beside us and no one knew. Only the few who dared to believe that God might do something different. Will you do something different this Christmas, Lord? Will you come into the darkness of our world? Not the friendly darkness as when sleep rescues us from tiredness, but the fearful darkness in which people have stopped believing that war will end, or that food will come, or that governments will change, or that the church cares. Will you come into that darkness and do something different to save your people from death and despair? Will you come into the quietness of the community, not the friendly quietness as when lovers hold hands, but the fearful silence when the phone has stopped ringing, the letter has not come, the friendly voice no longer speaks, the doctor's face says it all. Will you come into that darkness and do something different, not to distract, but to embrace your people? And will you come into the dark corners and the quiet places of our lives? We ask this because the fullness that our lives long for depends on us being as open and vulnerable to you as you were to us when you came in that manger in a stable, trusting human hands to hold their maker. Will you come into our lives if we open them to you and do something different? When the world was dark and the city was quiet, you came. You crept in beside us. Do the same this Christmas, Lord. Do the same this Christmas. Amen.
So as we've been celebrating Christmas together this evening, I thought it might be a nice thing, as you've come and a lot of you, you know, there's lots of you here, and this is sort of like one moment in time. So I thought it would be quite a good idea if we could try and put together a little bit of a nativity scene, kind of like a little bit of a tableau or something, so that if any of you want to take photos or anything like that, you've got something you can just take a photo, and it's just be a nice memento of our evening together this evening. I've asked my mate Chris if he can come and help me with this. So, Chris, I wonder if you could get... Have you got your
camera phone ready?
Camera and everything. So, what I want to do, Chris, is I want us to think about the characters we're going to need in
the people
nativity.
Involved.
The people involved, yeah, and then we can invite them up. And can you kind of, like, position them in the right? Because you've got a way with it.
And we can do get that. Them all in I can order. Do that.
Is that
Who are you
going right?
to start with, then?
Well, I don't know. I think we obviously need a Mary and a Joseph, don't we, to start with.
Any Marys and Josephs?
I think I might see a Mary and a Joseph there, possibly.
Well, I definitely see a Mary. I think Joseph needs a bit of help getting up there, really.
I think Joseph's had one too many mulled wines, possibly, already.
I'm not so sure about that. You've got pride of place up here. Best spot up here.
So, could you just put them in order,
you come, Chris? Come here. Sit right at the front. Yeah, let me just see. Smile. Look, that's perfect.
Oh, brilliant. Perfect. You know, it's almost a nativity already, Chris, but of course, that's not all, was it? Wasn't there some angel or something that appeared to these two?
You might not know, it's called Gabriel, I believe.
Gabriel?
Gabriel.
Do you think we need an angel Gabriel?
I think they look terrified already, but yes,
Have we got a Gabriel?
Angel Gabriel?
Is there a Gabriel or a Gabriella that we've got?
Gabriel?
Oh.
Oh.
Fantastic.
With style.
Oh.
Yeah,
we do.
To perch around the edges there. Look angelic, please.
Yeah. Is that enough then, Chris?
Hank, didn't the story mention an innkeeper?
We'll
just jump then. Oh, how about a donkey first? How about a donkey first? Ah, that's a shepherd, isn't
that's
it?
That's not a donkey.
That's definitely not
that's
a donkey.
Here's a donkey.
Thank you.
Oh, that's a good idea, because everybody likes animals, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
Actually, you don't look very donkey-ish, donkey. Could you look a little bit more donkey-ish?
Yeah.
On all fours, yeah.
Some noises. That'll do.
Okay, is that enough now? Can we get on with the
I mean, maybe an innkeeper now. An innkeeper.
Of course, innkeeper. Let's find an out. Good news,
yeah.
We've got an innkeeper. So I wonder if you could position the innkeeper. There.
Yeah, just round the side there, please. Just round the side. Yep.
It's looking good, Chris, already.
Hold on
a minute. We've got Gabriel and Gabriella, but actually, were there more angels than that? Wasn't there this heavenly host up in the sky that was singing good news of great joy for all people?
You want an angelic host?
Well, I know it's going to be difficult, but...
Tricky. Can we have some more angels, please?
And actually, we haven't got anyone teed up.
We've got to pick some volunteers.
Would you like to be angels now?
Yeah, you've got glitter. Come on, you can do it. Come on. Go together. You can hide behind each other.
Well, if not, we're going to have to pick some people, aren't we?
Come on.
Fabulous.
Come on. Well done. You can hide at the back. Right. Didn't the angels appear for a bunch of shepherds?
Really? You think we need shepherds?
Yeah,
they're here.
Let's get the shepherds in.
The shepherds were a bit rough, weren't they?
They were very rough, yeah.
Very rough. Over here, please.
Can you throw the shepherds out then?
Right.
Of course, if we've got shepherds, we need some sheep too. You can't have shepherds without the sheep, can you?
Sheep are kind of cute, aren't they? Let's find a few sheep.
Have we got any sheep? Oh, look, no, yes. Oh, there's a class sheep.
Terrifying. Terrifying. Let's find a few.
Would you like to position the sheep?
Don't come over this side, please. Yeah.
I've never seen a sheep walk on two legs before, of course.
I'm not sure about this, because as well as we've got sheep, we might as well have a cow.
A cow?
A cow to make it look authentic.
Oh, all right. Is there anyone out there who can be a bit of a cow? Is this a good enough cow?
Yeah, not quite walk like that, but there you go.
Well, I think that's about it, Chris. That's about it. Anything else?
Not sure. Didn't the Bible mention magi?
Magi?
I think
what are the magi?
I think it meant wise people.
Well, you've got no chance of finding them here, have you? This is Penrith, for goodness sake.
Yeah, but someone could pretend.
Well, I suppose...
And there were three of them as well.
But actually, if we're going to have wise... It can't be wise men.
Find three, would you?
I think we need to find three wise women, actually.
Yeah.
Have we got any
wise women?
Oh, well, here's one. She's particularly wise. Oh, well, here's the second one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, you've got it.
They were prepared. Well, they're wise, aren't they, really?
Come
up here. Yeah, do you want to go together or are you talking to each other?
How's it now looking, Chris?
I think it's looking pretty good, but I've lost my place.
And I think you think there's something missing.
I think there's something definitely missing.
Well, I know what it is.
What is it, Tim?
Children. Everybody loves children at Christmas.
Christmas
is all about the children, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are there any children?
You're not the child catcher. All the children come up.
Children
and
don't have to
the
do
child.
They just have to...
Well, there's quite a few up to our... Friends are waving.
Please, come down.
Oh.
Come down, children, and join in the fun. We need you so much. Are they coming? Or are they hiding?
I think they're coming. While they're coming, if this is about Christmas, it'll look a bit daft if we don't have a Santa.
A Santa? Yes, of course. Why didn't I think about that? Santa's a massive part of Christmas. So come in. Children, you don't have to do anything. It's just that Christmas is all about children. So they were bound to be in the story somewhere, weren't they? Father Christmas, yeah, where's Santa? We need Santa. Here he is. Excellent.
Moving very slowly, this Santa, isn't he?
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Santa. I think you've slowed down over the years.
Yeah. I can sense it. Let's come over here, Santa. Did you bring any reindeer with you, Santa?
Yeah,
sure. Rudolph?
There was a Rudolph in the Bible story, wasn't
there? I don't think there was, but we can have one anyway.
Okay. Let's get this photo done now then, Chris. Everyone is here now. We've covered every single area. Here is the angelic children. It's what Christmas is all about. Santa, Rudolph. It's all there. Let's get on with the photo.
Can you squeeze in a bit? Squeeze in a bit. I don't know. I think there's something still missing.
Something missing?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't have forgotten anything. We've got Mary and Joseph. We've got the angel Gabriels. We've got a donkey. We've got an innkeeper. We've got a whole host of angelic beings. We've got some shepherds. We've got some sheep, a cow, some wise women, a few children, because they're always good. Santa and a reindeer. What more could we possibly need?
Wasn't there supposed to be a baby?
A baby? What would we possibly want with a baby? No, we can't have a baby. If we had a baby, then we'd have to get a nappy, we'd have to have all the paraphernalia, the flipping thing would be crying and whinging all the time. And you know, if we had a baby, you wouldn't be able to have all of these animals in here for health and safety reasons.
Good point.
And these wise strangers from the East, whether they're wise or not, they wouldn't be welcome.
Definitely not.
No, it's just too much drama. And besides, a baby would take all the limelight. Let's keep it as it is. Christmas doesn't need the baby. Just get the photo done.
Okay. Brilliant. 1, 2, 3, smile. Thank you.
Fabulous. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
Everyone, sit down. Sit down.
Now, hopefully that last sketch was just a bit of fun. Nevertheless, I think the message is quite clear, isn't it? You know, Christmas without a baby is just wrong. It doesn't seem right without Jesus in the story, but it's easy, isn't it, for us to get carried away with everything else that's going on in this amazing season. And most of those things that occupy us are still really good things to do. There's nothing that I like better than watching a bit of Jungle Book on Christmas afternoon. And yet, you know, at the heart of Christmas is a story of a little baby being born to the world. And everything else in this wonderful season is really just window dressing. And you know, this baby that was at the heart of the Christmas story wasn't just any old baby. Incredibly, we believe that this baby was God. The angel said that his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. This baby is what somebody once described as God with skin on. You see, ever since creation, God has tried to reveal God's self to the people that he'd made. But you know, we just never got it. We couldn't get our heads around God. And so instead we made up our own rules on what God would look like or what God expected of us or even if there was ever a God there in the first place. And so on that first Christmas, God came to us as that baby to show us what God really looks like. We could see God. We could touch God. We could hold on to God. We could be held by God. And we could relate to a God like that. We could be in no doubt as to who God was. John 3:16 famously says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son." God came with a heart of love and with a message of love and with a gift of love. And the love that God had for us, the relationship that God yearned to have with us, was all that God ever wanted. And you know, now, 2,000 years later, I have to tell you, the story hasn't changed. And the message hasn't changed, and God hasn't changed. You see, a bit like in that nativity tableau that we just did, without Jesus, life just doesn't make much sense. A life without God is a life with something missing, something that's actually central to all of our stories. This God, Emmanuel, God with us, this God is still with us now. And God still wants us to know Him and touch Him and hold Him and be held by Him. He still wants to show us His heart of love. And this Christmas, that gift of Christ is still offered to us. So this Christmas, may you discover this wonderful gift for yourselves. And may you open yourselves up to that gift, receive that gift, and have the happiest Christmas ever. Amen. Before we finish this evening, I want to make just a couple of announcements. First of all, I want to say a massive thank you to everybody that has agreed to participate or that's been cajoled and press-ganged into participating in what we've done this evening. We've done it for two reasons. We've done it because we want it to be fun and we want everybody to enjoy themselves, but we also want glory and praise to go to God. So we hope we've achieved hopefully both of those things this evening. So for our amazing brass ensemble, amazing for Jim, for Gareth on the organ, for the guys on the sound and the projector, and everybody who's taken part, for those who have made the tea and coffee and mince pies and everything that we're about to have, I thank you very warmly for everything you've done, the stewards and everybody who I'm bound to have forgotten. I want to tell you about a course, it's not a course, about something that's happening on the 23rd of January, have I got the date right, Chris? 23rd of January, which is a Thursday at 7:30 in the Bridge, which is the building that we have just opposite the road in Wordsworth Street. We're starting an Alpha. Alpha is an opportunity over several weeks for us to ask questions together about what this God might be and what this God might have to say to us and want to do with us in our lives today. So please join us for that and pick up a leaflet if you haven't already got one on your way out. Can I invite you to a couple of other things that are going on at PMC over Christmas? We have on Christmas Eve at 3 p.m. a crib service here, which will be very family orientated. That's happening at 3 o'clock. We have midnight communion, which is probably not child-orientated, at 11:30, which is a nice way to see in Christmas. And then our Christmas Day Thanksgiving and celebration will be at 10 o'clock here. Finally, just to say, I wish you all a very, very merry and happy and joyous and peaceful and blessed Christmas and New Year. Shall we stand to sing our final carol, which is, O Come All Ye Faithful. We will sing four verses of this carol. I'm saying this not for your benefit, because you'll just sing whatever comes up there, but for the benefit of our projectionist and our band. We will sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. Is that okay? Of O Come All Ye Faithful. Please stand as you're able as we sing. So may the light of Jesus shine on all of you this Christmas. May the love of Jesus fill you and overwhelm you this Christmas. May the hope of Jesus inspire you and the life of Jesus transform you this Christmas. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this Christmas and always. Amen. Amen. Do join us for refreshments.